Yes, our Jody. Everybody loves Jody. Jody is just about as sweet. Jody is just about as sweet and intelligent and spiritual young mother that you're ever going to find, I think. I love Jody!
Speech.
Well, first I want to say thank you for coming here for your spiritual margarita instead of going out on Cinco de Mayo. I appreciate everybody coming. Okay. So, I just have some notes. If there was a contest for the most popular psalm, what would it be?
117.
Psalm. P-S-A-L-M.
23rd.
Yeah. 23rd psalm. It wins for most popular. Okay. So what I kind of got inspired, of course, by Millie. And there's a class lesson that she has where she puts the Lord's Prayer into kind of layman's terms, if you will, the Our Father, which art in heaven. And it's a really great class lesson. And it kind of brings new meaning to a prayer that you've heard your whole life. And if you want to hear that class lesson, visit Millie's classes. Because tonight I'm going to talk about a different prayer. Millie oftentimes reminds us that the Bible grows with us and we find in it what we're looking for. So I get excited to look for deeper meanings in Scripture. So every Wednesday before we do message bearing, we say the 23rd Psalm. And so it's definitely one that I've heard a lot and I've thought about a lot. Mm-hmm. So I kind of did the same thing. I'm copying Millie here because I broke down this 23rd Psalm into some layman's terms. But as I was getting ready for this talk, I had told a few people that I was going to talk about the 23rd Psalm, and my mother-in-law in particular said, "Oh, yeah, I hear that all the time at funerals." And I was like, oh, I haven't been to very many funerals, obviously, because I did not know that. So... my experiences through Millie's spiritual classes and through coming to church and experiencing this church family is that I found life in the 23rd Psalm. There's life, and it tells me four things that I came up with. So you guys can take what feels right to you and throw the rest away. But here's what it tells me. It tells me how I'm connected. It tells me why God made me. It tells me how God helps me and what I get out of the deal. And don't we all want to know what's in it for me? but first a little bit more about Psalms. They were mostly written by King David, who, before he was a king, was a shepherd when he was a youth. And he used a lot of the lessons that he learned from being a shepherd as a king. He took care of his people. He hurt when his people hurt. He was a good leader, and a lot of the things that he used in his leadership, like I said, was through being a shepherd. But the interesting thing is the 23rd Psalm also kind of foretells, it kind of prophesies Jesus the Christ, which I think is kind of interesting, because obviously Psalms is in the Old Testament, right? So when I read the 23rd Psalm, I look at it as a tool to remind me that I'm living in a human expression, but that I'm connected to my source. It tells me that through the magic of Christ's energy, this life can be easy and fun and full of miracles. So first, how I'm connected. And there's two parts. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. So in the spirit of Lindy, I looked up shepherd in Wikipedia. And The duty of the shepherd was to keep their flocks intact, keep them from straying too far, and in order to maintain a large herd, the sheep must be able to move from pasture to pasture. I thought that was kind of interesting, and I'll tell you in a minute why. But so from that, I understand I'm part of a flock. I'm a sheep in a flock. So I'm a bubble in God's bathtub. I'm a finger on the hand of God. But I'm part. I'm connected. I'm through this flock of sheep and through the shepherd, I'm connected. And I'm valued and cared for. Because what does a shepherd do except for care for his sheep? Very much. Take good care of them. Keep them away from harm. So could it be the idea that moving from pasture to pasture refers to moving through lifetimes? I thought that was interesting. But that's another talk. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this again tells me how I'm connected. Because we live in this dual world. Dave and I actually were talking about it, and I haven't gotten to read the book, but he was telling me the story about how when we come into our human body and we, you know, come into the baby and whenever that is, right? The body has its own intelligence, you know, it's flesh, and each cell in your body is intelligent and knows what to do. And then your soul too, the soul comes in and the flesh says, who are you? You know, and I thought that, so there, right there, there's duality. You're already, you are part flesh and you're part spirit. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges we have when we get here is to try to remember that we're spirit, but we're flesh, but we're also spirit. I shall not want. Wanting is a human emotion. It's flesh-based. It's ego-based. Millie calls ego energy gone off track. So wanting is that ego. Eckhart Tolle, in his book, A New Earth, describes it as the ego as wanting to want more than anything. The getting being short-lived and shallow satisfaction is quickly replaced by more wanting. And so when we're connected to source and we're connected to that Christ energy, we don't want. We're in our spirit selves, and we can kind of let go of that flesh, of that human wanting, and really move into wanting a different kind of food, which is spiritual food. And that's a lot of what I get through church and through our church family and through classes. It's all of it is gives me that spiritual food. So the other thing about I shall not want is in Matthew, the part where they talk about look at the birds. Okay, so it says, Jesus said, I tell you, do not worry. Don't worry about your life and what you'll eat or drink, and don't worry about your body and what you'll wear. Isn't there more to life than eating? Aren't there more important things for the body than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or gather crops. They don't put away crops in storerooms. But your Father who is in heaven feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than that? And so now, again, there's a double whammy for our value as a sheep. And that kind of just drives it home. We don't need to want. God's going to take care of us. We're going to get what we need. And sometimes we even get what we want. And then it ends up being the last thing that we thought we wanted. So... So that's how I'm connected. I'm connected because I'm of spirit and because I'm part of a flock. Now, then they go on to talk about why he made me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. So this means stay calm. Don't panic. Dennis gave me a message so many years ago, and I'm sure you've forgotten except for when I remind you. He told me, you are the cork in the waves. Picture the cork. It never, even if it gets toppled over by the wave, it still ends up coming to the top. So be the cork. Stay calm, don't panic. And I like the part about leading me beside the still waters, because that kind of connects into what Jesus said when he was in the boat, and this is in Matthew 8, when Jesus was sleeping and the waves got crazy and the boat started to you know, the waves started to hit the boat, and all the disciples got really worried, and they woke Jesus up. And he said, "Oh, ye men of little faith." He was disappointed because they panicked, you know. And that's God telling us, you know, don't panic. He wants you to be calm. He wants us to enjoy this life. He wants us to be prosperous. He made us lie down in green pastures, lead us by still waters. And through that Christ energy, mountains turn into molehills. Those waves become little manageable things, you know, when you have the knowing. And then also why he made me, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So I looked up righteousness, and besides meaning righteous, yeah, it also means leading a life that's pleasing to God. So he made me to live a life that I can be proud of, that we can both be proud of. When I finally leave this fleshy body and I look back, and I want to be proud of what I did, and I want my Father to be proud of me too. So he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we learn to listen to that Christ energy, we're guided on our paths. We can do God's work and be examples of God's love and light. And I think Millie was just talking about that. And I also have a pin. It says, "If I can't be a good example, at least I can be a horrible warning." I want to be an example. So he made me. He made me to live a good life, and he made me to be an example for him. And now how is he going to help me do this? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love this one because, and you'll see why in a minute, because I have to lead up to the yea, okay? Valley of the shadow of death, that's earth. We're constantly in the shadow of death. We are mortal. We're of flesh. But I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, I have all, we have all that strength in God. So here we are down living this life. But again, he doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to worry. He's walking with us. Being in a flesh body, you don't have to be afraid of dying because you are part of God. So, the interesting part about even just being here on earth, and Millie talks about earth school, is it's like looking, when you're here, you only can see one day at a time. You know, everybody talks about being here, being now, be present, don't be in the past, don't be in the future. And I had heard a story about how when you get to the other side and you're light body, you're not looking through the slit of a, like when you're a human, you're looking through the slit of a fence at one pearl of a string of pearls, and one pearl is one day. Once you get on the other side of the fence, you can see the whole string of pearls in either direction. So, you know, we have a lot more connection than we even realize, even here in these flesh bodies. So instead of being yay, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, it's yay, because although I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I won't fear an evil. Yay! Celebrate! Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. So stick and rudder, thy rod and thy staff. So those are the tools of the shepherd. But you ever notice how you kind of get whacked? You kind of get led, you know? And if you get a little bit too far this way, sometimes you get a little whack and you can go back the other way. That's the rod and staff. And that's to keep the flock together. That's to keep the flock safe. But it's also part of helping you with your soul growth. So you know what? You do get free choice. You get to stray, you know. And we're lucky when God kind of grabs us and brings us back in again, you know. Because we asked for these challenges. We asked to come down here. We asked to experience this world. Because how else are we going to grow? If everything here was perfect and there was no negativity, why would we be here? We might as well just go back to heaven, you know. So we're here, and Stick and Rudder helps us with our soul's growth. The anointing I thought was interesting, a couple of different things. Now this, I think spiritual development classes of Millie's are really good. Anointing symbolizes the introduction of a divine influence, a holy emanation, spirit, power, or God. So, you know, we talk about when you know, that's almost the anointing. You know, you experience divine connection. You know, we learn that discernment. You start to learn when the angels are talking and when it's your own thoughts, and we start to learn how to keep those positive thoughts going, and because they are things. So I thought that was really interesting about the anointing our heads with oil, giving us that more of that divine and that connection. But then also the shepherds actually used oil on their sheep to cover their wounds and to keep flies from bugging the sheep. So isn't that interesting? It's kind of like, you know, anointing us to kind of keep away the flies of negativity, right? And then the table prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. The shepherds used to have little raised tables that they would feed the sheep on. So that was where they said that they prepare a table before us. But, you know, for me, it just, it's that spiritual food, you know? They prepare a table before me right here in the middle of all this chaos. You know, there's the spiritual food. There's the table. So it's available there for us. And then lastly, what I get out of it, what we get out of it. Yeah, the good part. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So getting back what we give out, heaped up and running over. Isn't that what Millie always says? My cup runneth over, and you get to decide what it's going to run over with, you know. But here are all these things that God's talked about and how he's helping us live this good life for him. That's what we're going to give. That's what we're going to get back, heaped up and running over. That Christ energy fills our hearts. It fills our head. That's the chalice. We're the chalice. We're the cup. I finally figured it out. Yay! And with all that love, then that flesh, that ego, you can even kind of keep it, you know, that duality, you kind of have that little bit more control as a spiritual being. The other part is, as far as the cup running over, remember that if you're holding on, your hand's not open to receive. So that's another part of that. You have to give it away in order to get it back. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Like attracts like. So when you align with Christ's energy and you're an example of goodness and mercy, your life will be full of that very thing. We were living before we got here. We'll continue to live long after we leave. And no matter what expression we're in, we're part of God. So I know about goodness and mercy, but who the heck is Shirley? But surely it will. I had to say that. Yay! Though I walk through the valley in shadow of death. But in conclusion, there's a lot of tools that God gives us, and this prayer is no exception. The prayer is full of life, and one of many keys that can unlock heaven on earth. Thank you.
Oh, that's what I call an angel on earth. You know, she presented it all so sweet. She is absolutely sweet. Let me tell you, there's two people here tonight that ought to be so proud, her mom and her dad, right in the back row. They can feel so proud of that daughter of theirs. And then next to them is her hubby, who makes it. And they have those two beautiful young daughters. And, you know, he doesn't. Woo-hoo! And he doesn't complain so that she can come here. And he stays home so that she can come to class and come to Wednesday. And, you know, not all husbands would do that. You can't go there again tonight. I think this is grand. I think my heart dances when I see somebody so young as her, so capable to get out there and speak about God. You know, you see an awful lot of old people like me out there talking about God because you think, oh, it's not going to be long until I'm going to have to face him. But when you can see young people out there talking from their heart, and that's what she was doing, right? Is that a treat for all of us?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's very simplistic, just real. Well, you know, again, what I say is, if you really like her, you really think the thoughts that I'm thinking right now, you know what? Whenever you feel that, you're patting yourself on the back, because like attracts like. So I'm very proud that I'm attracted to someone like her, and I hope you are too. It says a lot about yourself. Is that neat?